If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on The Score.
That's right. Live and local all the way to 5 o'clock. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Dustin Rhodes. And then after that, Ruthie Polinsky and David Hall will be taking over the morning show. Make sure you hang out. Should be a good Friday show for the gang. I was trying to look at my schedule. So I was on with them Monday and Wednesday. And then I'm trying to think, are we dark today? Because usually, sometimes on CHSN during the week, we'll just go dark and we won't have any shows. So this week is the 13th. That's last week. Nope. So Ruth, you'll be able to see Ruthie and David tonight as well. So morning show action and then a little Chicago lead. Make sure you go ahead and check that out on CHSN. That gets you started. In the meantime, though, again, hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. Taking phone calls from my people that are out there right now. 312-644-6767 on the All-Star break for the NBA. So we can chat a little Bulls. The Blackhawks are on their Olympic break. But we can certainly chat. I'm surprised nobody's called in about the Blackhawks. Chicago Fire. We can talk about them too. I get this, you know, because it's overnight.
So speaking of stadium, you know, or how to successfully plan for a new stadium.
Just pay for it yourself.
Yes.
That's the way to do it. Be a billionaire. Joe Mansueto is a billionaire. And then you just say, yeah, I have so much money, I'm just going to buy whatever I want. That's the way to do it. Got to be a billionaire first, though. Have multiple. He has over $6 billion.
Or we could go to the several people who pointed out, just get lucky like the Kansas City Chiefs and sell out.
You could. Or you just be a rich billionaire, you know, and just pay for yourself.
Both sides of the equation there.
I did ask the question, if you could drop the stadium anywhere, logistics don't matter. On the water is a good one. On the lake is a good one because imagine if it was floating, you know. If you think getting to Soldier Field is difficult now over on 18th and Lakeshore, imagine if you had to go take a little water tube out there. All right, let's go to Kyle out in the south suburbs. Kyle, you a night owl, man?
Who?
Exactly. Kyle, love it. All right. Talk to me about these Bears.
I just wanted to chime in. You had a caller two calls ago, and I agree with him on, you know, not always getting that chance to come, you know, back and fight the apple, you know. And I hope that this – I do believe in Ben Johnson a lot more, but I just hope this doesn't turn out like another Nagy, right? You know, you got – our 12-4 season, we start out with him, things look great, we have the double doink, and then it just plummets, and you got 500 seasons after that. I think with some of the off-season moves that we need to make, I think we've spent too much money kind of in our D-line. If we can, kind of start investing probably some draft capital in some of our defensive parts, is I think kind of what I could look for enthusiasm towards like this upcoming season, and then just kind of like ascending obviously in the right direction. And then I kind of wanted to chime in too. I heard a really interesting conversation. I'm a truck driver, so I listen all day.
Sure.
At all times. So when the mayor, I think it was a Portage that called, that was on Raheemy, Harris, and Brody's show yesterday, made some really good points about trying to get this stadium dropped over in Indiana. And Lauren Tomes always making a really good point against Spiegel with most of us are watching it on the TV anyways. You know, I grew up in Homewood. I live in Crete, south suburbs. I mean, it's a straight shot over to Indiana. But, I mean, if we're thinking, you know, logistics and stuff like that, where I think it could be easier with transportation of kind of being in there, but everybody over there still considers themselves, you know, kind of a part of that, you know, the Northwest Indiana, a part of the Chicagoland area. I agree with it, you know, even though I'm not from the area, but you hear constantly people are always talking about it. So I just kind of wanted to hear, you know, kind of like what you had to say about, you know, hopefully we can take our season to the next stage. And I think logistically, the pitch that the mayor from Portage had yesterday, where he was talking about, I think, a lot of the taxes coming from private equity. I think people get scared with the term, but where do you stand on any of that?
Yeah, a couple of things, Kyle, right? You bring up some good points, and that's why I appreciate you being a night owl. I mean, first and foremost, let's talk about the, you know, Nagy comparison with Ben Johnson. We as Bears fans are naturally cynics, right? And I think over the course of this past season, we kind of had to reprogram ourselves in how we're thinking and what expectations should look like for our team. So you still have some remnants of the old Bear fandom where you're now, even though a successful season has happened, you're trying to find a way to throw some cynicism in there. So you bring up the Matt Nagy. Now, here are the differences, right? One, you got a quarterback that looks like a real long-term solution. And Caleb Williams, right, where Mitch at the time, nobody was really thinking he was going to be a world beater, right? So Caleb Williams, much different. You have an offensive-minded coach to pair up with him in this situation. I think the offense itself also isn't built on surprise where, you know, it became very much structured, right, during the season where it was like, okay, I'm Ben Johnson, you're Caleb Williams, I don't care, I'm going to run the ball. Right, I think it was built on a lot of that. Like, I'm going to find what I do well and do it often and make it repeatable. Whereas Nagy's offense felt like, you know, we were on fire for a moment. And then I think that the organizational story in the present is just different than it was back then, where there is some structure, there is continuity, you know, with Poles and obviously Warren and Ben Johnson and Caleb. There's just a lot of synergy and everything. So I think it's just different in that sense. So I think that's why I feel confident about it moving forward. For the Bears, the next stage is, I think it is really just the continuity. We see it with a lot of teams, right? Look at OKC. You can't use this thing for the Seattle Seahawks who won the Super Bowl, but, you know, everybody has their path. But I think for the Bears, it is continuity and it is, you know, familiarity and a level of comfort with the offense in order for them to get there. The mayor of Portage, Indiana, Austin Bonta, right? Bonta? Is that how I say it? Bonta? Tyler, all right. I got the clip and I want to play it while you're on the line, Kyle, because I wanted people to be able to hear it before I address it. Here's the mayor of Portage, Indiana, Austin Bonta, talking about what separates the offer from Portage, Indiana, from the others that are coming in.
I think that simply put, what separates our deal from the other areas have been discussed about, I think that we have to consider certainly the uniqueness of the site, the Hellas Harbor site. It is undeveloped land. There's no need to take out existing roads. There's no need to take out existing buildings to build. So that's one piece of it. The other piece of it is the ability for it to be a true, ecosystem of entertainment designed specifically for the Bears, not over something that was existing, but undeveloped land in one of the most strategic spots in the Chicagoland region, certainly the Northwest Indiana part of the Chicagoland region, where you've got the train, you've got the water, and you've got the highways all coming together right in this particular well-traveled area that so many people actually don't even realize is there. Well, maybe they realize it's there now, given the attention that the site is getting.
Kyle, now you're in the south suburbs, so Portage obviously is much closer to you than the other half of the city.
Correct.
So what do you feel like as someone that's near there, right? You're not obviously don't live in Portage, but you're a south suburb guy, so that stuff's near there. What do you feel like is some of the appealing things for you? Like, not just proximity, right? Outside of that, what are some things that you feel like are cool nearby that maybe Chicagoans that don't get out to the South would appreciate or wouldn't mind?
Well, I do think it's, you know, a lot of, you know, the stuff off the water. I think it's a big travel time. You know, you talk about the infrastructure. I mean, it's a crap show trying to get out of Soldier Field, whether you're at concerts, you know, just there have been there a couple times watching Rolling Stones. You know, we've been, you know, trying to get out of there, you know, for the games. I think it's also, you know, the price of everything in the city as well. I mean, yeah, you can take, you know, train and transportation, but that stuff's also accessible, you know, in Indiana or, you know, you got a lot of people from the suburbs who are trying to go out there. You know, gosh, I don't even go to Cubs games. You know, I wanted to go to the Winter Classic the other year, but I mean, tickets started at $400 or $500 a piece. It's like they're just catering to some of the north side, I think, people who have more financials to be able to go to this type of stuff. And, who, you know, hopefully if they do it in Indiana where I think, you know, things are cheaper, gas, food, things like that. I mean, hopefully it won't hit people's pockets as hard as, you know, trying to make a trip downtown. I mean, I think a preseason ticket when I used to go was still about $80 to $100 just to go to a preseason Bears game to watch backups. So, you know what I mean? So that's kind of the way I think about it, you know, especially in a hard time, you know, where people are trying to find ways to not hit their pockets, but, you know, also still try to go out and, you know, find entertainment.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, entertainment's a destination regardless, right? Like, if you want to go see Disney on Ice and you got kids, you're going to go to Allstate Arena even if you live in Indiana. Like, you're going to go to do it. Even I went to the Now Arena in Hoffman Estates to go, because, like, you just go to go watch Bluey or something like that. Like, you find a way to, you know, get out there. I think a lot of people underestimate how many times they're going to be out at these stadiums, right? Whether it's downtown, whether it's Portage, whether it's Iowa. Like, how often are you going to Soldier Field anyway, right, in a given year? Twice, maybe? You know, so, like, what inconvenience are you really talking about for those that, you know, feel like they got to drive a certain way? Traffic sucks regardless, right? Like, if you stay to a game or a concert or anything for that matter to the end, you're going to be in the hullabaloo with a bunch of people. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it just doesn't matter in that sense. But Portage, I got to be honest, I am not with Portage, Indiana. There's something about it. I want to be selfish with my Bears and the city of Chicago. It's like Portage, I get it, infrastructure, and you want it. And I do agree with you, Kyle, that, you know, if you're from Portage or East Chicago, you tell people you're from Chicago anyway. And then you tell them that you're, you know, just outside of it, 45 minutes, right? Like, what's the difference going 45 minutes south to be in Portage and going 45 minutes north and being in Wilmette, right? It's like you're there. It's still there. But interesting nonetheless. It'll be interesting to see how the whole thing plays out. I'll tell you this, though. This whole thing, Kyle, has taken way too long. Like, my excitement has waned from the very beginning where I thought, oh, Bears are getting a brand new stadium. This is going to be great. I had just left SoFi Stadium when the Bears first got wind that they might open. So I was like, oh, perfect. Just left SoFi. Bears could use one of these. And here I am 3-4 years later running in the same spot. And I can't believe that that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it's kind of like, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, and listen, I'm from Illinois. I'd love to see the Bears, you know, stay in the Chicagoland area, and at the same time, it's just kind of one of those things where you're going to make time for the things you want to make time for, so yeah, you're going to, you know, commute, you're going to go, just went to a Bulls game, you know, Allstate Arena is an hour away from me, you know, it's like, you know, us of the kids, you know, we went there, we didn't have any issues wanting to go out there, but then I look at Tinley Park, you try to leave the Tinley Park Amphitheater, you know, you're going to take an hour and a half, almost 2 hours to get the hell out of there, so,
yeah,
you know, but you do drive, you got to commute, but like you said, that excitement's kind of going away after it's been, I can't even believe it's been this long, to be completely honest with you. It hasn't been like it's been 3-4 years at this point. So, but I appreciate it all for sure.
Yeah, it's been a ton, man. All right, man. Well, I appreciate the call, Kyle. Thanks for hanging in. And shout out for being a night owl with us, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 104.3 The Score. Hanging out with you on the overnight, chilling, making sure we're doing our thing. And it's been a quest is what I'd say, Tyler. It has been quite the quest that we've had on this overnight, taking phone calls, making sure our night owls are in full effect. Text messages have been going good. Says from 608, do you think the Cubs can finally climb over the Brewers? Yes. They've picked up even more pitching. It won't be easy. I mean, we talked about this earlier, where if the Cubs don't win the division, this might be the most disappointing year of them all. And I think that, you know, Tyler mentioned it. People have been calling in and saying it. So I wholeheartedly believe with that. 630 says, I-80 in Indiana is already unbearable as it is. Putting a Bear Stadium there, I couldn't imagine. I think that's another thing. People, obviously the infrastructure, and that's why the Bears want that money from the state to build initial infrastructure for Arlington Heights, because Arlington Heights as a whole, as it stands, you know, can't. You could pop the stadium anywhere and you're going to have, you know, obviously a ton of traffic, and it's going to be an issue. But I think Arlington Heights is no different, right? That's why they want the dollars there. I-80 in Indiana is going to be no different. Wherever you put this 60,000, 70,000 people that are trying to get somewhere into roads that aren't meant to hold those, it's gonna create traffic, and people are gonna be finding different ways to get over there. But this stadium thing is annoying, especially because, like I said, March 3rd is the groundbreaking ceremony for the Chicago Fire. I'll be hosting it, and it is frustrating to be dealing with a team where they're just trucking along. Oh, how much? Got it. Blank check. Here it is. And then the Bears are sitting there, and you're like, you're the Bears, though. How is the Fire coming in? And I get it. Different types of dollars, right? The Chicago Fire Stadium is going to cost $750 million, which pales in comparison to what some are considering almost $3 billion that it'll cost for the Bears to do everything that they're going to do. So different dollars, but it's still, I'm close to it where you're like, damn, you're just up and putting a stadium wherever you want? Yep. Roosevelt and Canal, right in the city. Here's a blank check, everybody. And then, you know, having to listen to, and I've sat in meetings with Kevin Warren. I've had dinner with Kevin Warren, hearing him give his spiel on, you know, what he wants for the city. And that was even 2 years ago. So, I mean, again, it's just you would love there to be some movement, but it seems as though the pressure has finally, you know, reached a point where Illinois legislators are going to get the job done because they know ultimately that they don't want the Bears to be anywhere else. They just, you know, sometimes you just need a little pressure. You need a little pressure placed on you. All right, we also need some breaks placed in between us so that we can pay the bills. So we're going to take one again. I got about 40 minutes left with you guys. Phone lines are open. Would love to chat with you about the stadium situation, if you so care, choose to talk about that. Again, we're talking Cubs and Sox in terms of expectations for the teams. And Bulls, dollar in the bucket. Don't mind saying something about that. When we come back, I do want to talk about, you know, a pending free agent, specifically Max Crosby. There are two people, Brian Baldinger and Mike Florio, who have their opinions on whether or not Crosby is a realistic target for the Chicago Bears. So we'll hear from them, and then we'll also get a chance to hear from you. Again, coming up 5 o'clock, Dustin Rhodes at the pregame show, and then David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky got you on the morning drive, all right? Phone lines are open, ready to hear from you. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on The Score.
That's right. We are live and local all the way till 5 o'clock. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. At 5 o'clock, Dustin Rhodes takes over shortly after that. David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky filling in for Mully today. And, of course, all day long on The Score, we got you covered with all breaking news and all things Chicago sports. In the meantime, we get to chat a little bit more. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. We're going to be talking about defensive line for just a bit of the Chicago Bears. It's that time of the year, too. I feel like the last couple of years, whether I've been on with Grody or just kind of hanging out here and there, the talk of the town has been, you know, the Bears draft picks and what are they going to do with the number 10? Are they going Roma Dunze? Are they going Darnell Wright? What are they doing? Now Bears sit at 25. And so when you're in that position, more than likely you're going to be taking best available. But doesn't take away from the fact that you should, you know, free agency around the corner. Bears currently sit a few million over to the cap right now, so they got to make some cuts in order to be able to bring some players on. And one of those players that people are considering, whether it's via trade or not, is Max Crosby. Now, damn, you already got a ton of money shored up in Montez Sweat. Max Crosby, I mean, without a doubt, you saw what kind of impact Michael Parsons had on the Green Bay Packers. Max Crosby, oh my gosh, on a team that, you know, has got a new coach, you know, that this would be the time to, you know, Danny Parkins actually had a good take on Myles Garrett when they were saying whether or not he would, you know, leave Cleveland. And he brought up some points where it's like, you know, if your team has no direction, Why would you not take a 30-year-old defensive end, defensive player of the year, and get as many first-round picks and try to, you know, stack up while you can? And I think when you're looking at Max Crosby, the same hold true, where it's like, you know, you heard, obviously, Clint Kubiak say he wanted Max Crosby to stick around. That could just be coach speak or, you know, trying to play the cards, right? But if you're a young squad and you're getting Fernando Mendoza, you want to try to build a team around that could be competitive in 2 or 3 years, Max Crosby is not necessarily part of that window. So that's when you can get a team like the Bears who, you know, if they play their cards right and try not to, and don't act desperately, I don't know how they're going to do that without Ian Cunningham. Ryan Poles might just pull the trigger on anything. He saw him do it on Cole Kmet, gave him money. Saw him do it on DJ Moore, gave him money. Who knows what happened with Max Crosby. But Mike Florio was with Raheemi and Harris and Grody and talked about, you know, or compared the trade between Khalil Mack and Max Crosby and tried to find similarities between the two.
Mack wanted nothing to do with John Gruden. That was well documented. And as that season unfolded and the Raiders thought maybe they could prevail upon Khalil Mack to stick around, he was in his fifth-year option at the time. He held out, and then that deal got done. So, yeah, I think it's smarter if you're the Raiders to recognize if Crosby really is done, that he means it, and your best play is to maximize the trade possibilities and do the deal. This assumes the Raiders are going to realize that they need to do it. It's hard for the rational mind to predict the behaviors of the irrational, and all due respect to the current power structure there, the owner is still the owner. Mark Davis is still making these calls, and there hasn't been a whole lot that he's done by way of decisions over the past 15 years that would objectively be called rational.
Sometimes moves make themselves. And in this particular instance, I think that's what's going to happen with Max Crosby, where, you know, Davis is going to want him there. Kubiak is going to want him there. But sometimes you earn the right to dictate where you want your future to be, and or at least where you want it not to be at. And you get to say, I do not want to be in this predicament, and you've earned the right, and then you are valuable enough to bring back capital. And I think that's where Max Crosby is at in the present. You love how he talked about the Bears. Clearly, he loves seeing, you know, what they have. And I love his passion, right, where there will be a level of accountability on that defense that we haven't experienced quite yet. But, I mean, geez, I can't even get myself to get there. I can't even get there mentally that Max Crosby could potentially be a Chicago Bear, because it's just something that wouldn't happen. It's kind of like Caleb Williams being a Bear. It's just like something you don't think is going to happen, and you're like, what, with it? Well, Brian Baldinger talked with Mully and Brad Biggs, because Biggs was in for David Hall, and talked about whether or not Max Crosby is even available.
Well, I don't know if Max Crosby is available. I mean, it's a fan. I mean, if fans all want to play general manager, they might. I know Max pretty good. I know he wants to be a Raider, but I'm sure, you know, he's going to see his sixth coach in the last 6 years. I'm sure he's tired of the revolving door, and maybe someplace else is better to go. So I don't know where that stands. But, I mean, for the second year in a row now, we've gotten to the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl game, and one of the teams wasn't able to score a point. Kansas City couldn't score against Philadelphia, and we just saw the Patriots not score against Chicago, against Seattle. Yep. And so, I mean, defense, I mean, it's a cliche, but defense is winning these games and dictating these games. And Sam Darnold was fine. He didn't turn the ball over. He made a throw to A.J. Barner for a touchdown. But, I mean, it wasn't like he had to do a lot of heavy lifting. The defense was taking care of business. And if you look at that roster, and I know you guys have, I mean, John Schneider hasn't missed on very many guys.
Yes.
And the holes that they did have, whether it was at safety with Julian Love or at middle linebacker with Ernest Jones, I mean, they filled it pretty capably, or Tank Lawrence on the defensive line. They filled it pretty capably with good free agents that have good value. And so there really is not a hole on that defensive front whatsoever. They have good depth.
So, of course, that was Brian Baldinger talking with Mully and Brad Biggs yesterday about whether or not Max Crosby is even available to be had by the Chicago Bears, or for any team for that matter. You try to think about how, you know, year over year, because it's like the Chicago Bears have always, especially over the last couple of seasons, have been trying to make this leap, right, out of obscurity, out of embarrassment, into relevancy. And so the jumps have been able to be big because they're so bad. Kind of like what I was saying with about the White Sox earlier. Like, they're so bad that there's room for that level of improvement. And I think what we've seen as Bears fans when looking around the league is that a lot of these teams pretty much stay intact, make minimal moves in the margins, but it's the continuity, the coaching, the quarterback play that has them continuously, you know, vying for, you know, division titles and, you know, playoff spots. And so I think that's where the Bears are now, where, you know, if you're a Bears fan and you're trying to think, well, how much better is this team going to get? How, you know, are you a Max Crosby away from getting to that? And so, again, I don't know if the Bears are there anymore where they need to make these huge jumps in order to find themselves in the top tier of the NFL. Might be just simple as adding your draft picks, you know, a free agent or two for, you know, impact, and then, you know, continuity and familiarity within the team that allows you to play a little bit better. I don't know. But of course, adding Max Crosby, you know, acts as a catalyst to, you know, relevancy, especially at the highest level in the NFL. That we know. That's not even a question. But what are you going to do if it ends up being like a Jared Allen situation? Is that what you're going
to
say?
Well, no, I was going to agree with you in the sense that I hate to look back at so many Detroit comparisons, but when we look at the 2022 Lions to the 2023 Lions, okay, in particular with the offense,
okay,
it went from, oh, okay, top 10 unit to 2023. Wow, one of the best. I agree with you in the sense of I don't think they need to go out and make this huge signing on whatever, most likely defense side of the ball. I just think it's like, here we go. This is why you hired Ben Johnson,
right,
to take you from point A to point B or whatever. Step one to step two. Keep climbing that ladder. Another offseason, another year of continuity, the same belief system. This is why you hired Ben Johnson. It's not going to be about adding more guys. It's going to be about everyone still continuing to believe in and taking that next step.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, when you're looking at these stats, you know, of the Lions during that year, 2022 and 2023, I mean, looked very similar.
Especially after they started, I think it was 3-7. They ended the year 6-1 with that win at Green Bay to keep them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, again, you can make those leaps, right? But even that one, it proves the point that it's just continuity and consistency, right? Because they didn't add a ton of guys. They still had David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Actually, their first draft pick was Jahmyr Gibbs offseason. And Gibbs, that was their loaded Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Campbell,
they had
and Brian
Williams
Branch.
And DeAndre Swift initially.
Yes. Yeah, and DeAndre Swift got traded to the Eagles that year.
And then that's when they got Sam Laporta. That's how they had a good draft class.
The really good
Jahmyr
class.
Gibbs and Sam Laporta.
Yes.
But that was adding on to a team that was warm. You know what I'm saying?
Wasn't free agency. That was just
drafting.
Great drafting.
Right. That's a great point. So, you know, the Bears at 25, and then what did you say, 57? We said 25, 57, 89?
Yeah, 25, 57, and 89. 89,
I think, yeah. So, I mean, 25 and 57, I mean, you should be able to, you know, get two guys that should impact winning.
What's GM Gabe Ramirez doing at 25?
Best available. If it's the linebacker, I'm taking a linebacker. And I'm cutting Tremaine Edmonds. If it's, you know, a tackle, then I got to get one in there because who knows when Chipilla's going to get back there. If it's a D end, then so be it. I got a rotation guy to be there with Max Crosby. It'll have to be. And then you also want to think about 57. Right, like if I'm 25, I'm, you know, 30 picks away from my next time rotation. I don't know who's going to be available. I don't know best available. I might have to go best available then too. I can't hold out in the hopes that tackles will still be available.
And that alters your thinking, right? Like if you take a tackle at 25, are you looking at safety at 57? Like
yes.
If you pick the safety at 25, are you, man, we need that defensive tackle at 57?
I'm sure that you put your first round grades on, you know, two linebackers, two safeties, a couple of tackles, and you're like, if any of these guys are available at 25, Right to the commissioner to give the envelope.
I'll just throw some names out there. I've seen Caden McDonald from Ohio State thrown out there a lot. Yeah. I've seen Caleb Banks from Florida thrown out a lot. Both defensive tackles, but I've seen the same couple of guys be linked to that number 25 pick. But anything can happen. We'll see.
I mean, think about it, right, Tyler? Any position, by the time 25 comes, the top two of whatever that position is gone.
Gone?
Gone. If you're top two quarterbacks, gone. Top two running backs, Jeremiah Love, somebody else, gone.
Well, maybe not quarterbacks. Maybe not quarterbacks.
You don't think you're going to go 20? You're not going to get two quarterbacks in the top 25? Of course you are.
There's a chance.
Of course you are. It's the NFL. Stop it. It's the NFL. Right.
Fernando Mendoza, number one.
Out the gate, and then it's maybe.
Where's Ty Simpson landing in the top 25?
17. Alabama. Pittsburgh will take him.
All right, I could see that.
You know what I'm saying? Like something like that. Like something's going to happen. So your quarterbacks are gone. Your wide receivers are gone. Your two running backs are gone. No, two linebackers. Like the top two of every position is gone. So when you see guys like that tied to the Chicago Bears, it's just because they're the third best at their respective position. And that just means that the Bears, you know, are on the board to get them. But what a difference, right? Now you're sitting at, you know, from damn near knowing every single person that would be available in the top 15 picks, knowing their moms, knowing where they went to elementary school, knowing what their favorite color is. And now it's like, top 10 schmen. Who's going to be the 25th best player available?
This is going to be a weird draft season, knowing that the Bears aren't in the first top 10 picks.
Yeah. I believe it was Dan Weider where he was saying, you know, the Bears for the last couple of off seasons have been at the center of everything, right? The Bears have won the off season. Bears again. Did it again, baby. Get them the trophy. And this year is going to look a lot different where, you know, and it's a good thing, right? That's what Dan was saying where, you know, you don't necessarily need to be in the mix. You don't need to be in the scrum. You can kind of make moves on the outside and still put yourself in a position to be competitive in the NFL. And I think that's where they're at right now. 25th, having to make some cap casualties, having to, you know, actually draft well instead of it falling in your lap. And then you got to see what happens. But I wonder, I'm so curious what the leap of the Chicago Bears. That's going to be what we're going to talk about the next go around. You said you're in on Monday?
I am. Monday. I'm in with you and Gabe.
Who's producing with you?
I got Grant Leader alongside Dustin Brandon. Getting some well-deserved time
off.
As
you should. I see you guys. I see Brandon turning around, making sure he's not working. Brandon's like, wait. I know you ain't talking about me. Nope. Got you, bro. You got the day off. But you guys will be back on Tuesday?
We're holding down the Ford for him on
Monday. How about Tuesday?
Tuesday, they are back.
Back? Okay. At least I get to work with the A-team. I mean, these guys. You're the A-team, Tyler. For me.
My name does start with B, though, by the way. Baby T.
Baby T.
So I guess it makes sense.
Brandon and Baby T is going together. All right. Let me take a break so we can get back for the last time. Again, Dustin Rhodes jumping on at 5 o'clock with the pregame show, leading you right in to David Hall and Ruthie Polinsky. They got you covered today on the morning drive in. I got you covered for 20 more minutes. So if you want to call, lines are open. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. Right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on The Score.
That's right, we are back. Gabe Ramirez, Chicago's very own. You know, people call me Chicago Gabe. I mean, it is my Instagram handle, but...
Is that your alter ego?
No. That was just...
Like 9?
No, not like Baby T.
I'm kidding.
No, it's funny because, like, Clay Harbor, when we do, you know, TV together or whatever, I'll be there and he'll be like, Chicago Gabe! That's what he says. And then I know what he's doing. And so then I'll just respond and I'll go, Bachelor Clay! Because, you know, he was on The Bachelor. So I try to do that. And then he always stops making fun of me. And then he would do this thing where he, you know, because I'm a stylish guy. I like to wear my suits. And he'll always be like, this man never wears the same suit twice. Look at this man. He'll just be commenting on my suits all the time. And the best way to you know, stop a bully straight in his tracks is to, you know, make him confront their words. And so you're like, man, Clay, are you really paying attention to my outfits? And then he's like, what? No, I was joking, man. And they're like, oh, okay. I thought you were really, you know, you turn the joke on them and then it ends up being that. But either way, I get a chance to hang out with you for a couple more minutes before we get up out of here. For those of you that are just tuning in, we're going to be doing this like twice a week. Mondays and Fridays is when it'll typically happen. This next Monday coming up, not going to be the case because it's President's Day. So I will be filling in for Mully on Monday. Myself, David Hall, Grant Leader, and Baby T will be in the building. So I'll get both of my overnight guys during the day, during the daytime. I'll see them in the light outside. That'd be great. But yeah, so we'll be hanging out. My night owls will be, and it'll be light. I got to be honest. Now, it might be lighter because the boss man's, these last two ones, the boss man's been out. So we haven't got any phone calls. But I got to imagine that if I'm going to be tasked with doing overnight shows in random days, not after Bears games, I'm going to have a little bit more freedom and liberty to talk about whatever I want. And so it should be interesting. But again, it should be an interactive show. That's ultimately what we want, right? We want there to be a level of interaction between caller and myself and Tyler. So that way we can, you know, be entertaining overnight as we should, because we're on the FM down now and things are back where we want it to be. So things we've been talking about today, of course, we've been chatting about the Bears and their stadium stuff, because Lord knows that thing is taking forever. But talking about if you could drop it anywhere, we got Wrigleyville. That was good. Somebody dropping it right on Wrigleyville. I said put it right next to the United Center. Just so that way commute could be easy. We'd have no problems doing that. We also talked about expectations for the Cubs and the Sox. A lot of people saying they don't want to put the World Series expectations on the Cubbies just yet, the boys in blue. But White Sox, I felt like the White Sox fans were a little bit more enthusiastic about their team. Did you get that feeling too, Baby T? That, you know, Sox fans were coming through joyful, dare I say?
Hey, it's not going to be another 100-loss season. And I mean that in that not the, an ins- wow, insulting
wow,
way.
Wow. I was sitting here just saying how Sox fans were coming through and, you know, making phone calls and actually excited about their season. And you, the Cubs fan, want to say it won't be another 100-loss season? That's something to be happy about? That's real petty. I didn't take you for that person.
Full disclaimer, Gabe, I've been pretty high on the White Sox offseason. I actually think they've made some very intriguing moves. It's not going to necessarily pay off this year, but it kind of raises your eyebrow. Like,
who had a better offseason, the Cubs or the Sox?
I am not going to lie. After the Alex Bregman signing, I have to say Cubs. But without Alex Bregman, White Sox.
But you do have to realize that you lose a Kyle Tucker. Right. So like it's not like
Kyle Tucker, who sucked the second half of the season.
Wow.
There, I said it.
No, you know what it is? All the Cubs fan at Cubs conventions that were like, oh, when Kyle Tucker comes, I'm booing him for sure. It's like,
I'd be one of those people.
You know why you're booing him and why you're mad at Kyle Tucker? Because he didn't fall in love with Cubdom. That's why. Cubs fans are salty.
Should we boo the Dodgers more so than Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, why are you going to boo Kyle Tucker? He was here for a cup of coffee. Well, because he didn't love the Cubs.
Well, can you at least admit that, okay, maybe I was a little bit too meatballster, but he was not a good baseball player the second half of the season. I know he didn't play 100%, but was not the same player the second half of the season.
But just like we were talking about the Dodgers, right, where we were talking about them a second, like, who's playing good baseball for 162 games? Nobody.
I get it.
You're going to have slumps and downtimes in a season. Like, it's just inevitable. And granted, he might have been dealing with some injuries and stuff like that. But, like, again, Kyle Tucker was a potential MVP candidate at one point during the season last year. You thought he was going to be, like, you know, starting those
MVP finalists.
Right.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's put it, yeah.
Fine. Whatever.
Like, you know what I'm trying to say. He was that caliber of a player for you.
Yeah.
He was that caliber of a player for you. And sure. Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, Kyle Tucker Schmucker. I don't want to hear about him. And it's like, wait. And then you say, so that's, I guess the, going back to the argument, which is who had a better offseason. When you say you signed Alex Bregman, you had to. You had to sign someone. Now the trade for the pitcher, that is, I like that. I like that. That was a great move. Owen Casey, that one might hurt.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
I would have traded Alcantara before I trade Casey.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give up something to get something, though, right?
I totally and understand
so,
it.
So great from that perspective, where you get another, obviously, starting rotation guy. You pick up your third baseman, which is a hole for you. And so those are good moves, right? Because you have to replace the productivity of a Kyle Tucker. But the White Sox, I mean, relative, you know, holding true for things and trying to keep things relative. They had a great offseason.
They got a closer and a power hitter.
Got Sir Anthony Dominguez. They got Mooney Mercama. They got Sean Newcomb, Anthony Kay. I mean, again, when you're talking about where the Sox were and where they're going to be, I don't know. You can make an argument.
And I think it was more just the element of surprise of the Alex Bregman signing. I was like, whoa, they signed Alex Bregman in for how much
money?
Could
you imagine if the Cubs didn't sign Alex Bregman? Right, you don't want to imagine that because it'd be a dark day.
It would have not surprised me, though.
You'd be scared about this Brewers team that just moved down from all their players.
Oh, of course.
You'd still be scared of them.
Who traded Freddy Peralta and Caleb Durbin.
Exactly. All right, mi gente, we are about to get up out of here, man. I want to say a special thank you to Tyler Farrengol for holding things down today.
Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me.
It's funnier years later. When it first happened, I was like, why are we playing this?
It's now, a staple.
Now, a couple years later, the fact that I didn't remember that I gave him that nickname is hilarious.
Just like, who?
What?
Who
cares?
All
right.
Wow.
No, that's it. That's part of the joke. Who cares?
No, I
used to do that all the time. All right, shout out my Night Owls. I will see you guys next week. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.